Welcome to the Natural Radio Show. My name is Cindira Mendez and I am the host on the Natural Radio Show. And today's date is April 3rd, 2021 on a Saturday evening. And tonight's topic is going to be about how to accept rejection. So that is the initial topic on tonight. And before I begin, I wanted to do a tribute to a member who is a part of the Republic of Mentalec. It's a Facebook group that is that come together as a community. They're community centered, and they focus on the mind and being able to extend themselves intellectually, and more or less, like I said, they are more community based and centered. However, there was a member who passed on not too long ago. I'm also familiar with her. Her name is Pentesha Mentrez, and I just want to like take a moment to just reflect on, you know, her presence, her regalness, and, you know, just everything about her. You know, I just wanted to just highlight how she was a strong woman indeed, and she had a very strong personality is what I known her to be. One thing I would say, when I had the chance to actually interact with her, I remember her just being so insightful. It's almost as if she was able to like see behind the veil of other people, like when they're hurting or when they're going through certain things. And as an older person, she was able to see, you know, the unseen. And I remember just having an encounter with her, and she highlighted something that I was going through, and it touched me so much that I was like, you know, it made me feel like I'm not alone, and it made me feel that there was someone who understood my situation and everything that I was going through at the time. And I appreciated that moment that I had with her, and just, you know, being able to interact with her as far as with finances, and her just being so organized and everything. She was a wonderful soul here on this earth, and I'm glad that I had gotten the opportunity to meet her, to get to know her. And she was just one person who was like a fireball. She was just about her work, getting the work done. She was not the type of person to get into pettiness. She was not the person that was miserable, anything like that. She seemed like very happy, and she had low tolerance and low patience for people who engaged in, you know, senseless acts. Immaturity. She didn't really have patience for that, and I respect that a lot about her. And she was always, as I said, always willing to get the work done, have a way needed to get done, and always about her business. So this is what I respect about her. And even in the short moments that I shared with her, it was such a beautiful impact that she had on myself, and I'm pretty sure she had an impact on the other women in the Republic of Mentalec as well. Beautiful soul, serene, peaceful, you know, and just like straight to the point. You know, she was someone who anyone could actually look up to and admire, for those who were just about their business and not getting into gossip and things of that sort. She's someone who's ideal to go to or even to speak to about something that's really like bothering you inside or whatever the case might be. She was a great person who had the patience to understand and share her wisdom and give her insight if asked or needed be on a situation. She never forced herself on anyone as far as giving her views, but she told it like it is as far as what she seen and what she felt. And like I said, if you wanted her advice, she would give you her advice willingly. Beautiful soul. So I just wanted to give that tribute to her. And then I just, you know, hope that she continuously pass on and, you know, peace, and that her soul be at rest. And she continue to, you know, have a resounding effect on those who remember who Enra Captain Pentesha Mentez was. So for those who are listening and who are a part of Republic of Mentalate, this is my tribute to her. So before I begin the show, as I said before, I wanted to talk about rejection and how to deal with rejection in itself. So I know it's a lot of times people face rejection in so many different dynamics. People could face rejection as far as wanting to be accepted by someone else, or trying to fit in a role to where as you know, they may have an interest in, and they may get rejected, or just applying for an occupation and being rejected from, you know, the application pile or whatever because you don't qualify. You know, like I said, people face rejection in so many ways. In beauty, it could be in sports, it can be in so many dynamics. But one thing I would say is that rejection, when it's more or less an internal thing, whereas a person go through a dilemma of rejecting certain qualities about themselves, or rejecting certain aspects about themselves that may be strong, but they might doubt certain attributes that they may have that are very useful. You know, sometimes it could be a person's look. They're not feeling comfortable and confident within themselves. So as a result, it's almost as if every time when they look in a mirror and disapprove of themselves, that's like rejection in itself. So when you go through that phase, and I'm just hypothetically speaking, you know, people will start to reflect, you know, how you treat yourself. So when you don't have a sincere love about yourself, and this has a lot to do with the internal base, eventually it will show out apparently on outwardly, where people will start to mimic the certain types of thoughts and, you know, ideologies of what you think of yourself. Now, don't get me wrong, sometimes on the contrary of that, you can be a very confident person, really love yourself, and you can really think that you are doing your best, and you are doing your best. But when it comes down to the expectation of other people and what they think, they may reject you because you don't meet their standard. But what I have to say to that is that it's not about what they think. As long as you approve of yourself and you have a genuine love, on the contrary to a person that rejects themselves because of, you know, low self-esteem or whatever. But if you have a high self-esteem, to hell what other people think about your confidence, where you're at. Because at the end of the day, if somebody could be judgmental towards you, towards your happiness in your life, that says a lot about their own. Because if they can't look at themselves and, you know, realize, who are they to put an expectation on you? Who are they to tell you what and what is not right with you? They don't have no right in doing that, you know. So my whole thing is this: as long as you love yourself, that is all that matters. That is all that will ever count and you continue on. Because guess what? When you love yourself and you have that confidence and you accept who and what you are as a person, you will begin to attract people who love and accept you for who and what you are, okay? And that only helps you to grow and be extended, opposed to someone who may have low self-esteem, and you may attract people who are manipulative, you know, people who would try to tarnish your character or make you into something that you're not, all because of rejection in itself, okay? So I'm just here to say that when we think of the word rejection, the opposite of rejection is acceptance. Okay? Rejection tells you what you are not and what you are, whether it's right or wrong. And acceptance is just accepting the surface of things or what it is, with the knowing that it'll grow over time. That is true acceptance. When you have rejection and you are like investing in something that doesn't go in alignment with your essence of who you are, you begin to stifle and stunt your growth as a person. Okay, and that's not good. It's not good at all. But I'm here to say that rejection could be very tarnishing to not only to a person's character or to how they present themselves, but it can actually seep into other parts of their lives. And it show up in different ways. It could be that it show up in various relationships that they establish with other people. It can show up in their social setting. It can show up in relationships that they have one-on-one with other people. It can show up and manifest in so many different ways when people hold on to rejection. Okay, so I'd like to share a story about myself and how I've coped with rejection and how it manifested so many times in my life to where I had to say, you know what? Enough is enough. I need to forgive. I need to learn what self-love is and what self-love is not. Okay? Self-love is not causing self-affliction to feel better about yourself. It's not. And I'll explain more. But I'll tell you how rejection seeped in and how it manifested in my life. First, being in a household where there is only one parent, and that being the mother, okay? Now, I know that some people might say, okay, you have your mother is there to teach you how to be a young lady, how to be a woman, how to cook and clean, you know, and just how to be a woman, not realizing that every boy, every girl needs a mother. And they need a father to bring balance and neutrality in the home. Excuse me. They need that. They need to see that, feel that, hear that. They need to. I don't care if the dynamic of people initiating and saying, well, you know what? If you have your mother could teach you how to be a woman. If you have a father, your father could teach you how to be a man. You know, all of those things are true in essence, but it's not a fact. Okay? There needs to be a balance. So on my behalf, having a mother, that doesn't necessarily always mean that my mother knew the best standard in being a woman or becoming into womanhood. She may not have known all of those things and may have to learn at a late age. Okay? So let's say whatever she knew along the way, she did the best that she could as a mother in raising me. Now, a lot of times, I know that in the past, my mom would say something like, "I'm your mom, I'm your dad, you know, I'm both of the two," you know, just to try to, you know, bring some comfort and reassurance to me. But I knew that my mom was my mom and my dad was just missing out of the equation, and I desired him so much. Okay, so I say all this to say, to highlight that, one, growing up in a household where it wasn't a two-family home, and then two, experiencing rejection at an early age. Okay, I remember receiving my first heartbreak when I realized that, you know, someone who I thought was my father turned out not to be my father. And what happened was I got put in a situation that I shouldn't have been in, or whatever the case might be. And when I reflect back on that day and how I experienced this situation, I remembered knowing that, you know, finding out or discovering that this guy, you know, was not my father. And, you know, being so accustomed to having him be around, having him come around, and just developing that daughter father bond with him. And you know how when daughters get fond of their fathers and they build a bond with them, it's like their father is like their world, you know, daddy is like their world. And that's what he was like to me at the age of like 4-5 years old. But I remember his face, you know, him being around and things. So like I said, I got put in a situation to where, you know, I kept asking my mom about him, asking, and she knew what he was. And she had me go to a place where he worked at. And lo and behold, I seen him. And, you know, it wasn't the good time to speak to him, but he seemed very standoffish to me. He didn't want to really, like, talk to me or whatever the case might be. And I was, like, so confused. And I'm like, oh, my God. Like, I can't believe, like, he's rejecting me. Like, what did I do? So I remember him, you know, like standing to the side, taking a moment to tell me the truth, that he wasn't my father and that I had to go back to where, you know, I came from, because, you know, my mother was so overwhelmed with the fact of me saying I wanted to see him. And that's what happened. So I remember feeling what rejection was like. I remember what it was like to feel the propensity of rejection. And I was just so hurt. And I remember being with my mom and her friend, two children, and my sister being in the car. And I cried and I cried and I cried all the way home with that heart, with a heart broken, that like he just shattered my world in that truth, and me realizing that I'm not gonna see him again. So just going way back to that experience, it showed throughout my life as I've grown as a young lady. Okay, so I experienced a lot of different feelings other than rejection, but I would say not having the right ideology about relationships and how to interact with young men and how to maintain a relationship. In fact, not even living with the guy. So I don't even know what it's like to live with a counterpart or the opposite sex. I don't know what it's like, you know. So this is like the missing pieces, you know, especially knowing how to cook, you know, clean. Yes, I know how to do that on a basic level, but when it comes down to being more sufficient, there's a missing block, there's a gap, because I don't know how to relate to a man when it comes to that dynamic. I don't know how to relate to a man who is accustomed to or want to be a provider for the home, because I never grew up in that atmosphere, you know. So I say all this to say that rejection followed me in social settings, because yeah, even though I was like the I don't know how to say, like, there was times where people were drawn to me and wanted to be around me, but then I realized that I would kind of go to my own self, because I realized that, you know, certain, you know, groups of people were doing their own thing, and I was like, you know what, I don't fit into that group, and I know that I would have to conform myself to their liking or to their standard, and I don't feel accustomed to doing that. I don't want to do that. I don't want to conform myself to fit in with that crowd. So I know I would have automatically been rejected. And a lot of times I know that, you know, even though I still had friends throughout my you know, teenage years and all of that, I really feel like a lot of them that were close to me only wanted to be around me when they wanted advice or they wanted me to set them back on the right track and things. But when it come down to, when it came down to their social life, they didn't really include me into, you know, whatever it is that they were doing. So it's almost as if I was like a safe haven for them. So it's like I was rejected from that part of their social life, whatever the case might be. And even it even translated into my siblings, like the rejection that hurt. Even a rejection, my oldest sibling, which is my sister, the relationship, the dynamic of our relationship, it even came and seeped through that, because I know that the same propensity of how I maintain relationships with friends, it was the same thing with my sister. She wouldn't include me in certain aspects of her life because she knew that I wasn't accustomed to it or whatever the case might be. So in a sense, I felt rejected from that part of her life or whatever the case might be. So I'm just trying to show the trail of how rejection could show forth in a person's life. So now I talked about the outer exterior of how I experience rejection and how I recognize it, especially in relationships with that I had throughout my younger ages, as far as become, you know, older teenage, 17 in my 20s, dealing with different types of relationships. I realized that the young men that dealt with me, they really didn't take me serious, and that's because I didn't really take myself serious. And realizing that, you know, the dynamic of the relationship would be that I would be so interested in the guy or wanting their affection and wanting to be loved by them and being rejected because they were young men. They didn't think about wanting to settle down or having a family. They were little boys being boys, and they kind of like rejected me. They wanted to use me for one thing and that was it, and move on with their life. And I'm just keeping it honest. I'm keeping it real. So what happened in those dynamic of relationships, I never knew what I wanted out of those relationships. And I realized that, you know, that the guys would reject me. And then when I build up enough courage to leave them alone and let them go about their business, they come back to me to repeat the same cycle again of that rejection and acceptance kind of feeling. So now that I'm in my 30s and I'm looking back on my life, I realized that, you know what, how rejection has impacted me in so many ways. And not too long ago, I would say about two years ago, I decided to break off a relationship and to just focus on me and to focus on self-love and to focus on the nucleus of what was causing me to, you know, go through these phases of rejections, going through hurt and pain, heartbreak after one heartbreak after another. You know, I had to really sit down and reflect on it. And like I said, the rejection came from, you know, which is also identified as a childhood wound. It came from that day when I got my heart broken the first time and how it followed me, you know. So going through the self-love and then having to deal with the nucleus of what caused the damage, what caused the misunderstandings, the misconstrued broken hearts and all of those things, I had to deal with me. I had to understand that in relationships, I've often become codependent. And I learned that, you know, codependency is not the gist of a relationship. So I learned that 2 years ago, that that's not what it's about. And even though you could be an independent person, but you could be heavily dependent on someone in an unhealthy way. You know, you can be in a relationship and always arguing with the person and then thinking that it's love when it's really not love, when you arguing with the person. You know, when you don't really understand yourself, you won't really understand the dynamic of relationships and when you are with people and interacting with them. And just as they say, if you don't love yourself, how could you possibly love somebody else in a healthy way and matter? You know, so rejection, I had to accept me. I had to love me. I had to take myself out on dates. I had to treat myself to spas and really look at myself and do affirmations. Look at myself in the mirror and say that I'm beautiful and use these affirmations to kind of like deprogram my mindset, like to reprogram my mindset from, you know, overcoming this thing of rejection. And realizing that, okay, I need to change my ways if I want to have a healthy relationship going forward. I need to learn what self-love is, even if I have to do affirmations, take myself out on dates, get off the market of as far as being in a relationship with other people, because some people might feel that, oh, I have to be in a relationship, or I need a man, or I need a woman. And it's not so. Sometimes you just need yourself, and I needed me. I needed myself. And that's what I did. I focused on me, and I focused on my daughter, who I have now. And I reflect on how, you know, a cycle repeats itself, even though I didn't intend for the cycle to repeat itself, because I grew up in a single parent home and it's repeating itself with me. Whereas my daughter, she doesn't really have that balance. She doesn't have the balance of having a father and a mother. And sometimes she feels the inadequacies, but I try so hard to fill in the gaps. And I don't make the mistake of telling her, I'm your mother and your father, you know, trying to be tough, because I'm not tough. Because all I can do and be is her mother and be the best mother that I can. And that's what I'm doing, you know. So, you know, I feel that I'm taking this time out to rebuild myself and to hopefully, you know, be in a healthy relationship with someone who is meant for me, and we don't have to deal with, you know, so much unhealthiness of relationships. Now, I understand when it comes down to relationships, there are ups and downs, but I'm talking about at this point, I don't need anything unnecessary. I don't need a relationship at this point, because I need to focus on getting myself together completely. And it has been 2 years, going on three as of now. And I'm very proud of myself. I'm so proud as far as how far I've come. And where I'm going, and I want to be able to rebuild and strengthen other women to see that it takes you loving you and realizing that if you are being rejected or you keep experiencing rejection over and over, you have to go to the nucleus of the issue or the problem or whatever it is that you're facing and try to repatch whatever wounds and how it started and things of that sort and work your way forward, because that's what I did. It was tough. I tell you that there's times where, you know, I've cried. There's times where I've gotten frustrated. There's times where I was confused and I just didn't understand certain things. And it would take the wisdom of an older woman or a seasoned woman to sit down and talk to me, which I've experienced throughout the years of my 20s. You know, older women speaking to me and sharing their jewels of wisdoms with me, which stuck with me today. Like, for example, one woman told me, an older woman I'll never forget, she told me that no matter, your house may not be, you know, like a castle or whatever the case might be. It may not be the way you want it to be, but always make sure your house is clean. And to this day, every time when I think of what she said, I truly understand what she meant at this day. I understand what she mean. Just because the outer interior or your house may be in shambles, where you may have a broken, you know, window, or you may have a broken, you know, something that's not fixed. But as long as you keep your house clean, that means you keep the peace in your home. Okay, you keep the tranquility in your home. And once you keep on practicing and you keep doing that, you keep a house clean, you eventually attract your house in the way that you want it to be. And yes, it is a woman's, you know, place, or a woman's, not even do that. I don't want to sound, you know, like a sexist or anything, but a woman is supposed to make a house a home, even when it's in a shambles, okay? Like, even, you know, in songs when, I don't know why, but this is coming up, when they, I forgot who it was that sang this song, when they say that their mother made the projects feel like a mansion. A woman has the capability and gifts of doing that. So it's not about the outer interior of your home. It's about what's inside when other people walk in and they could feel the peace. They could feel the warmth. They could feel the cleanliness in your home. You know? So I learned so much about that. And even with a gentleman that shared with me, when they got to know me, they said, you know what, when I looked at you, aside from all of, you know, the rebels or whatever the case might be, they said, you know what, your yard may not have been the cleanest, metaphorically, your yard may not have been, you know, up to par, whatever the case might be, in the outer interior of your house or whatever, may not have looked the best, but when I walked in, it was a beautiful place. And I said, you know what, what's on the inside of you does not match on the outside. And he just wanted to bring that out and highlight that more. And I thank that person to this day for, you know, just highlighting that, you know, because some people would want to keep you in shambles. They will they will treat you like how they see the outer interior of, you know, your home metaphorically. They will treat you like that because it don't look to par, don't look to standard. They'll treat you like that, knowing that when it comes down to matching the outer interior of a home and who you are, people would treat you how you look because you don't meet their standard or whatever the case might be. So they might treat you bad. But deep down inside, you may be a good person with a good heart, and people would just still take advantage of you. And that's something that happened to me. It happened to me, you know, and when I look back at the statement in itself metaphorically, I say that's so beautiful. because someone to see that, okay, just because it looks this way and I walked in just to take the time to get to know this person, it doesn't match. So what happens is that as long as your house, your home on the inside is good, guess what? You could then work, once you work on the interior, you can work on the exterior of your home and make it how you want it to be. And then it both can reflect itself. Being a beautiful person on the inside out is so beautiful. When you can forgive yourself, when you could forgive the rejection, when you could forgive the hurt and say to yourself, you know what, I want to rebuild myself, and that's what you do. It's a beautiful feeling when you could see yourself going through a transformation. You could see yourself getting stronger day by day. You can see yourself getting better over time. It's a beautiful feeling, and I can say that because I've experienced it. So at this day, until this day, I really don't care what anybody else think of me. I really don't care what other people say about me behind my back. I really don't care what bad intentions other people have, because it means nothing. It means nothing, because if they're not paying my bills, if they don't know my journey, not just my, and even my story, what I had to go through, they don't even have no right even saying anything about me as a fact. The way you get to know a person is if you go to the source and you speak to the source, not what you heard about the person and then form a opinion on how you should treat that person based off of somebody's judgment or somebody that's hating. You don't do that, because then it's a defect to your own character as a person. So this is how, when people try to tarnish another person's character, or they try to belittle another person, people who have the shining, and shout out to, you know, the one who know what I mean by that, or people just in general know what I mean, I'm going to share it. People who have the shining, meaning when you have a gift that is lethal and nobody can mess with it, that means it doesn't matter what a person say about you, what they try to do, you'll always be protected. And you will always have a gift, something that they will never have. Never have. Okay? So, my thing is this. When you know who you are from what other people say who you are, or when you experience rejection, just know to differentiate the two. Just know that it doesn't take much for you to look at yourself and say that I love you. I love me. Even if nobody else loved me, I had to do that. I literally had to do that. Look in the mirror and say, I love me. It's nobody else's job to love me but me. And once I could do that, that's when I was able to get on my journey, face rejection. Because a lot of times people don't like to face their hurt. I tell you, every woman, every girl, every, you know, young lady, every woman, every older woman that's out there that understand what I mean by experiencing that hurt, when you look in the mirror and you don't want to face it, but you know that it's there, and you just cry. You cry because you know the pain that you feel that nobody else could feel, nobody else could see but you. But you. And when you face it, it's okay to purge yourself. It's okay to feel the guilt. It's okay to feel whatever it is, but don't cause self-infliction. Don't feel that you deserve anything less than being the best version of you. Say that I deserve to love me when nobody else loved me. I deserve it. And then that's how you reverse rejection into something that's acceptance. So how I dealt with rejection still followed me in spite of me on my journey, because I learned to say when certain situations or interactions that I get into, I say this is rejection. This might be a trigger. I need to learn something from this, because rejection might follow me through the rest of my life. But as long as I'm able to control me and control it, I know how to reassess the situation and know that, you know what? This may be a trigger, but it's for me to outgrow over time. And I will do. So right now, I would say that the best way to overcome rejection is by learning to love you, accepting who you are, and nothing less. Thank you for listening to the Natural Radio Show. I hope you were able to learn something new and be able to share the wisdom and pass it on to those who may not know.